This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
Hi, I'm Claire Kimball, and this is News Club, the place to go for conversations about the news. News Club this week straight into pretty uncomfortable territory for us. We entered into the very murky waters that is royal intrigue about Princess Kate, the state of her health, and questions about her whereabouts. On top of that, there was that image that Kensington Palace published to social media of Kate and her kids, and that took the saga to another level. It was an image that the media outlets were told not to republish because it had been digitally altered. And that kicked off a real debate about trust, what it means more broadly for public figures who are bypassing mainstream media to manage their own images and also publish information about themselves. It's a really big one, and these issues made it all the way to the White House. So when it comes to how the royals play the public relations game, it left us with a lot of questions, particularly when it comes to their interactions with the media and particularly the British media. So to unpack all of that with us, I'm really delighted to say that we've got Lizzie Robinson as our guide. She's the royal producer for ITV in London. Hi, Lizzie. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hello, and thank you very much for having me on. It's definitely been a busy period, so a lot to unpack.
Yeah, the fact that you found some time for us is really, really great. So thank you so much. Lizzie, before we dive into all of these issues, just tell us a bit about yourself.
So I work as a royal producer, a royal reporter at ITV News in London. ITV News is the largest commercial broadcaster in the UK. And I've been covering the royal family since 2017. The news cycle for the royal family since I started has just been, you know, non-stop, really. I've covered the arrival of Meghan as Harry's girlfriend, their wedding. I've done the King's coronation, a platinum jubilee, and of course, the passing of Queen Elizabeth II and the Duke of Edinburgh as well. So it has been an incredibly busy time. And, you know, I haven't even mentioned Prince Harry's memoir and the Netflix documentary and all of that. So it's been busy.
Lizzie, I'm curious what it's like being a royal reporter. It sounds like a roller coaster.
The thing with covering the royal family is that when the news hits, it really hits, and people in the UK and abroad are really, really, you know, interested and engaged in it. And, you know, to have played a part in covering the passing of the late Queen Elizabeth, that was something that as an organisation, not just our organisation, but organisations right across the UK and the world, we had spent decades preparing for that moment to ensure, you know, that we did it the justice and the respect that it deserved. And to have played a part in that moment and to have covered that and been up close to it, that was an extraordinary thing to have been a part of.
Yeah, I bet it was. I just can't imagine the scale of all of that and the responsibility, as you say, that you really had on your shoulders to do it justice. I should say, Lizzie, we were put in touch because we have a friend in common. Marnie Gaffney is a really good mate of mine from our days working in politics together here in Australia. And about 15 years ago, she moved to London. She found herself working in Buckingham Palace for Queen Elizabeth with another Australian, Sam Cohen. So the Aussie vibe is really quite strong in that part of the world. I don't think people probably realise that there are Australians working at that level.
I worked with both of them, Sam and Marnie, not only when they were both at Buckingham Palace, but they also both worked for Harry and Meghan before Harry and Meghan left as sort of senior members of the royal family and quit that life. What's always fascinated me is the interest in the royal family in Australia. I've got colleagues here who work at Channel 7, and, you know, they almost cover the royal family and the goings on more than we do. There is just an insatiable appetite, it seems, in Australia.
Lizzie, you won't be surprised that the coverage in recent weeks has been pretty much nonstop here in Australia. I'm keen though, to get into the nuts and bolts of these things. So squizzes will know that I was a press secretary in a former life, but it's a whole other thing when it comes to the royals and the media. On day-to-day engagements, the royals are covered by something called the Royal Rota. Can you just explain that a bit?
So the Royal Rota is essentially a core group of national media organisations, and you have the broadcasters, the print reporters, and the photographers. And when a member of the royal family is out on an engagement, a member from each of those groups will come and follow that engagement and report on it for their sort of pool of people. So I'm a broadcaster. In the broadcaster pool, there is ITV News, ITN, Sky News, and BBC. And so if a member of the royal family is on an engagement, one of us will go and film it, and then we will share that footage with the other members of the group. And what that means is that when a member of the royal family is on an engagement, that the room is not absolutely packed to the rafters with media and that they can move around easily and meet people.
Yeah.
And we take it in turns, and that footage is shared between us, and nobody can, you're not getting an exclusivity, you're not trying to gain anything on the rest of your pool. You can only use it when everyone has access to it. And we then share that with our affiliates. We all have affiliates across the world who then also have access to that, and we have clients as well that we share the footage with right across the world, and a lot of the agencies as well.
In our part of the world, we call that a pool. You have a pool.
Exactly. It's exactly that.
Got you. And that's the reason why we don't see the royals out and about with a scrum.
Yes, it does, you know, mean that it is in quite a sort of much more organised, controlled environment.
Lizzie, are there any other rules that dictate the relationship between the media and the royals that you, I guess, consciously or unconsciously find yourself following?
It's funny. I think people think you do the royal job and you get sort of a handbook, yeah, and there's, you know, the word protocol gets used a, yeah, lot. And I'm often thinking that there's no protocol for that. It is a little bit different though to other jobs. I mean, when you're on an engagement with a member of the royal family, it is unusual for members of the press covering that engagement to shout questions at them. You sort of, you allow them to get on with the job, to meet people, and you listen in on those conversations. But it is unusual. It does happen if there's a big story, you know, then members of the press do occasionally shout a question, but it is the exception rather than the norm. The other thing that is different is in this job is that they very rarely sit down for an interview. So it's quite rare to sort of hear from them in that way, which I think that's where it is really different to lots of other jobs.
They're both really good points. I guess the example that comes to mind is that of Prince William after the accusation that there were racists from the Sussexes, that there were racists in the royal family. I do remember a journalist shouting that question at William, and it was a very uncomfortable exchange.
And I think the fact that William decided to respond to that just showed the strength of feeling he had in responding at that moment. And I think, you know, he wasn't going to walk away and let that wash over him.
And Lizzie, the other part that you said there too really does clarify for me too this, I guess, when we're looking at Kate and the royals' point of view of things, and we get into this discussion about how the press office has responded to rumours, they don't get their own voice very much in this, do they, to clarify things. It's sort of smoke signals and social media posts and reading into the winds about what things actually mean and what they might actually be trying to say.
Yeah, I think, you know, particularly around a lot of the allegations from Harry and Meghan in the Netflix documentary or the memoir Spare, was that the royal family don't respond to everything, can't respond to everything, don't want to give it more oxygen, and therefore stay quiet. And I think they don't respond to everything in the same way that maybe other people would do.
Yeah, you'd roll them out and they would do a press conference, or they would put out a statement in their own voice, and you would have direct quotes to actually pull from so that there was no misunderstanding about what they actually wanted to say.
One of the things that Harry and Meghan have talked about, particularly since leaving active duty, is that there was this invisible contract that the royals have with the Royal Rota, with those media outlets, because it's feeding the need for constant stories about the royal family. How does that play out at your end?
What I would say about the relationship is, you know, there's been a lot of talk about whether there are deals with the press and the royal family. Is there an invisible contract going on between us? And that really has not been my experience. I think, you know, it was Prince Harry that talked a lot about the royal family didn't like a story that was about to be published. They'd give something else, that sort of training.
Yeah.
I don't recognise that. That's something he's spoken about a lot. He's spoken about not liking the Royal Rota arrangement, that they wanted to see it opened up to allow other news organisations in and more grassroots level organisations to come and cover their engagements. And I think, you know, since stepping back, they have achieved that, and they now invite who they want to cover their engagements rather than the Royal Rota.
So when it comes to Kate and the conspiracy theories that started swirling, particularly on social media, what kinds of discussions are you having with your editors and your news chiefs about how to cover all of that?
I think taking us right back to January, when the Princess of Wales was in hospital having that planned abdominal surgery, you know, I think at that time there was a request for her privacy to be respected, that she was in hospital and then she was going to take a period away to recover and to recuperate, and that she would be back on public duties after Easter.
Yeah.
And, you know, we very much respected that request. We, just because she is the Princess of Wales and there's public interest in her, she has a right to medical privacy. And therefore, we didn't have cameras outside the hospital. We didn't try and capture Prince William going to visit her. And we didn't try and capture her when she left the hospital, because the request had been respect her privacy. I think, you know, since she left in the last few weeks, particularly, the story has sort of taken on this frenzied life of its own, with conspiracy theories and, you know, people coming up with all sorts, particularly on social media and online. And I think as that noise has grown, we have a responsibility to, you know, clear up what is fact and what is fiction and debunk some of that. And, you know, I think to not give it any oxygen, to sort of say this is what's happening and these are the facts.
Did it take you by surprise, that level of noise that there's been?
Yeah, I think it has taken everybody by surprise, particularly actually the palace by surprise, that the fact that the princess has stepped back and said that, you know, she's not going to be around for a few months and that she needs to take some time off to recover. I think that the vacuum that has left, and therefore the noise that has filled that vacuum, I think that has really, really surprised everyone. And I think they thought she's had this abdominal surgery and she's going to take some time off to recover, and that would just be the case. And it clearly hasn't. And there has been an awful, awful lot of noise.
And look, then we get to the Mother's Day picture that the Kensington Palace published on social media. And I'm guessing it seemed like every outlet in the world raced to get that up. I imagine you rushed to get that to your digital channels as well. And tell us how things went down when that kill notice was issued.
That was an extraordinary moment. So you're right, the picture came out at 9 a.m. Here in the UK on Mother's Day, and everyone is running that immediately. This is the first time we've had an official picture of the Princess of Wales that has been handed out by Kensington Palace. And, you know, as the day went on and you sort of noticed people beginning to question things online, the sleeve not looking quite right, the zip not looking quite right, the step being a bit funny. And then that evening, when the first, it was the Associated Press, that first kill notice
It's pretty dramatic.
Extraordinary and pretty, I mean, unprecedented. You know, Kensington Palace has been a trusted source. And for that to happen and then other major international picture agencies to kill that image was, that was a twist I don't think any of us were expecting.
One of the News Club picks we had this week was from Emily Asghari. She wrote in The Scotsman that one of the things that should be taken out of this whole saga is for the established media to rethink how they handle and distribute user-generated content, whether that's from public figures or from the royal family. Is that happening at your end?
I think this is a really good question about where this leaves us going forward, actually. You know, the fact that major picture agencies didn't think that this handout picture met its standards. You've got some agencies looking back through their archives at other photographs to see whether they meet their standards. You have the global director of AFP saying that it cannot regard Kensington Palace as a trusted source. You know, that when you're let down by a source, the bar is then raised. That is, you know, for people to be saying that now and to be questioning the palace and what they're putting out and whether that's trusted, that is a big change. And I think, you know, the next images that we see put out from them, we haven't had those yet, that will be interesting to see how that plays out.
So you're saying it's a bit of a wait and see?
We will see how this, how this changes things. Prince Louis has a birthday coming up. Traditionally, for the children's birthdays, we get an image often taken by the Princess of Wales. You know, we know she's a very keen amateur photographer. It will be interesting to see what they do for his birthday. Do they decide to, you know, put out an image and say, you can trust us again or not? We'll have to wait and see.
Lizzie, we asked our audience in a poll earlier this week about if they thought the news coverage surrounding Kate was excessive, and 65% of those who responded said that the situation had been blown out of proportion. What's your sense about how Brits are viewing this whole saga?
The Princess of Wales is incredibly popular here as well, an insatiable appetite for news and for stories. And I think, you know, for a lot of people that is driven by wanting to see her and to wanting to know she's all right and wanting her to be back out on public duties. But, you know, this story, it is the top of the broadcasts. It is all over our front pages. There is a real appetite here for news on her.
Your media has form when it comes to putting the royals under a lot of pressure. Is there that bigger conversation happening at the media side, do you think, about are we putting way too much pressure on these people?
I think that conversation is probably happening across the world. But, you know, I think still at the moment people are very much covering the news as it's happening. Perhaps when this is all over, when people step back, and perhaps, you know, she might decide on public engagements to talk about this, you know, and if she does, it will be at her pace and at her time. But I think if she does, you know, people might then take a step back and then think about how this has been covered and how people have responded to all of this.
Lizzie, maybe she'll sit down for an interview with you. That would be amazing.
Maybe. Or maybe she might come on the podcast.
We'll put in a good word for you.
I'll put in a word.
One final question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how crazy is it going to be when she makes that first public appearance?
This is a good point because it is going to go crazy. I think you only have to see the interest has been just in that that very short video of them walking across a car park at a farm shop.
Yes.
And I think for her, for the team around her, they will be thinking very carefully about how to manage that return to public life for her and to ensure it is done in the best way possible. I mean, one potential way of doing that, you know, if she wants to and she's feeling ready to do it, is potentially on Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday, the royal family traditionally go to church. It would be a very short walk. There would be a very small group of media there to capture it. And it wouldn't be like a sort of an hour-long engagement where she would feel, you know, that she had cameras on her all the time. But I think you know, what this has shown us is that when she does return to work and when she is back out and about, that the interest is going to be huge, and the, you know, people are going to be pouring all over these pictures of her. And, you know, I think they will really be taking that into consideration when they think about that return.
Oh, I'd love to be part of those media strategy sessions about how you ease back in, or do you do the big bang thing and get it over and done with. It's this meeting after meeting, I'm sure, that's already taking place.
Yeah, I mean, she and all of them will know the huge scrutiny that she will be under when, you know, when she does return, and they will want to manage that carefully and to do it at a time that she is ready. You know, she is coming back from surgery, so they will want to do that when she feels it's right.
Lizzie, you're the host of your own podcast. It's called The Royal Rota. Give us the pitch.
The pitch. So The Royal Rota is a weekly podcast. I do it every week with our royal editor here at ITV News, Chris Shipp. And as you can tell from this conversation, there is a lot of royal news, a lot to unpack. And we take you through each week the royal news that has been, and we kind of analyse it and talk through all the headlines and try and catch everyone up on what's been happening.
Lizzie, thank you so much for joining us. Never does my Australian accent feel more strong than when I'm talking to a well-spoken Brit. So thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been brilliant.
News Club is the place to go for conversations about the news. Join us on the weekly wrap tomorrow. It's the week in news and what's coming up.